Welcome back,
Hello.
besties. So this week we're switching it up a little bit. We know we tend to focus a lot of our attention on what we know as women about relationships. So whether it's the research we've done or personal experiences that we've had, and we know we always try to be neutral and open, but sometimes the focus tends to gravitate to our perspectives as women. So this week, men, this is for you. All for you. And the truth is, we know men are not always the problem. Sometimes it's us.
Sometimes.
So this week, we're going to dive into how to recognize when you're being a toxic partner to your male counterpart and red flags that you guys out there can stay on the lookout for while trying to find your perfect match. So grab your favorite snack, some coffee, some wine, and let's get into it.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
So this week we're just gonna dive right into this shit.
Oh yeah.
Okay. So ladies, we're gonna go over 8 signs that you might be a toxic bitch.
Put a finger down, yeah.
So number 1, you're hot-headed. If something unpleasant happens with you and your partner, you go from 0 to 100 in 3 seconds. You mumble mean things, you might even throw things, and you lash out whether the issue is big or small. The way out of this is to become aware of your behavior and change it. Consider an anger management program, please. Or at the very least, learn to take a break from combative conversations for 20 minutes to give yourself some time to cool down first. Easy enough.
My first finger has been put down. Number 2, you think your partner is inferior to you. You think that you are the bomb and your partner isn't. When you feel you're superior, you will develop contempt for your partner and put them down either when you're alone or when you're around others. You will try to make your partner feel small, and a person will only tolerate nasty behavior like that for so long. That's not fun.
And that's a big red flag if your partner, male or female, yeah, puts you down in front of your friends and family.
I was going to say, women, we don't like for men to do that to us. Don't do that to them.
Right. Number 3, you avoid conflict. You're the life of the party, but when conflict arises, you run for the hills. Solving problems is not exactly one of your skills. But life isn't all rainbows, and if you are conflict avoidant, you may shut down completely, which will make your partner anxious or angry. But if your partner feels like he can engage with you only when things are going perfectly, that's not a good thing.
No. Number 4, you're obsessed with social media. Most women out there, I would say they are. But if you are always on social media posting sexy photos of yourself or, yikes, flirting with your exes, your partner will definitely feel insecure and threatened. And guess what? That kind of behavior also makes you look insecure and desperate for attention.
Facts.
If we don't want our men or just a guy that we're interested in, if we don't want them out here liking random pictures of your friends or people they don't know or whatever, probably shouldn't be doing that either. At least to people you do know. If it's someone that you don't know and you'll never ever meet them, a little double tap here or there is not going to hurt anybody.
Right.
But if it's your ex, that's sketchy.
Number 5, you don't take responsibility for your actions. If everything is always your partner's fault and never your own, you're probably being a bit biased or irrational. If you don't easily say, I'm sorry, and instead always blame your actions on someone else, it's a surefire way for relationship disaster.
Yeah, no one likes that. Be an adult. Yeah. Say you're sorry. Number six, you have friends whispering in your ear. If your close pals are filling your head with thoughts like, bitch, you could do so much better, they may be the culprits in sabotaging your relationship. So ask yourself, is this something that happens repeatedly? And how well do these close friends sustain their own relationships? It may be time to stop listening to your nearest and dearest and just listen to what your heart's saying.
What do we say about opinions?
They're like assholes. They stink. And everyone's got one.
All right, number 7. You prioritize your own needs and wants first. Are you constantly expecting him to understand when you change up plans or you suddenly need a girl's night out? Are you thinking of his needs last after you've made sure you've made yourself happy? Now, I do want to clarify, it is healthy to prioritize yourself. Mm-hmm. But if you never make your partner a priority, this is where it becomes toxic, because your partner also needs to feel like they matter, that the time you spend with them matters and is prioritized as well. So don't get it twisted. There is healthy prioritizing and unhealthy.
Yeah, it's a give and take.
Yes.
Last but not least, number 8, you want him to make you a better person. You expect him to inspire you to become a better human, but the only person who can inspire you to be better is you. You blame him for your stagnancy, your lack of success, yada, yada, yada. But the truth is that nothing he can say or do will motivate you. Motivation comes from within, not from the outside.
I love that one. It's one of my faves. Run it back.
Run it back.
So now that we've given the lady some toxic traits to look out for, okay, we need y'all to take a deep reflection. You know, what do you say?
Look at yourself.
If you put down 5 or more for these, you're a toxic bitch.
Yeah.
But
well,
now,
I'm sitting here holding 6 fingers down. Just kidding. Well, am I kidding?
She's not. But now we are going to go to the men. So we're going to share some red flags for you men out there to keep in mind when you start dating a woman. Okay, these are very important. And we always talk about red flags.
Muy importante.
Okay, so 1, look out for all give and no take. Okay. One of the first signs your girlfriend is toxic is that the relationship feels like a one-way street. You need to ask yourself, does she reciprocate my efforts? If it's only you doing all the hard work and she's just taking but never giving, it will drain you. Mm-hmm. Your girlfriend may have unreasonably high expectations of things you're supposed to do for her and the relationship, but she herself fails to meet those standards she has set for you. This is toxic female behavior that can throw your relationship in a constant state of unpleasantness.
Mm. 2, she keeps a relationship scorecard. Mm. Oh, God. Keeping a relationship scorecard, that's when you keep tabs on the other person's mistakes and never miss an opportunity to remind them of it. And this is among the classic toxic girlfriend signs. You didn't show up for her friend's birthday party 6 years ago when you had just started dating. Oh, but she's gonna make sure you know that. She makes it a point to remind you of how terrible it made her feel every time you fight or have a disagreement. The man finds himself at his wit's end because his girlfriend remembers every fight, every argument that they have had over the years, and makes it a point to list all of them whenever a new disagreement emerges. You feel like you're trapped in an endless conflict because old fights don't get resolved and new ones keep piling on. Mm. Ladies, don't be this person.
Women are really bad about this. I will give it to them.
I've done it. And it's not healthy for anybody. Resolve the conflict.
Move on.
In the present moment and move on. Once you both have agreed and have come to some sort of resolution, don't bring it up again.
Yeah.
Because if you're bringing it up again, that means that you were probably lying at some point when you said you were over it.
Yeah. And then I know men do this too, but I feel like that is more of a woman's trait than men. Men are let things go easier, typically. 3, she's never wrong. Admitting a mistake doesn't come easy to her. And strike that, admitting a mistake just doesn't come to her at all. She may have hurt your feelings, overstepped relationship boundaries, or made a genuine mistake. But even so, words like I'm sorry, or I realize my mistake, or I feel horrible about hurting you, simply just don't roll off her tongue. Instead, she'll find a way to justify her actions. And then she'll hold her ground no matter how hard you try to make her see the error of her ways. This can truly put you at a loss for an answer to how to deal with a toxic girlfriend. Well, calling a spade and standing your ground when you know you're in the right is a good starting point. Don't give in and resort to appeasement just because you don't want to lose her or risk another exhausting fight.
4, you can't have a life outside of the relationship.
And we talk about this a lot.
Whew. Your personal space and relationships outside of your romantic partnership have taken a massive hit since you've gotten together with her. One of the signs your girlfriend is manipulative is that she will use temper tantrums, coaxing, fights, and appeasement to stop you from doing what you love or what you like. A night out with your friends? There's a temper tantrum awaiting you. Want to stay home and watch a game? She'll probably sulk endlessly. Planning to spend Thanksgiving with your family? Prepare for some emotional blackmail and lots of tears. These are all telltale signs of a toxic person in a relationship, and it would be in your best interest to see them for what they are.
Mm.
You gotta have healthy boundaries. And sometimes, I don't know who in this world doesn't want some alone time.
Right.
Away from the person that they're dating or the person that they're in a relationship with or living with. That's weird.
Yeah.
Can't relate.
I can't.
I need an hour or two.
I've ended plenty of relationships because I felt suffocated.
Yeah.
So. Number 5, your needs are never taken care of. When the needs of one partner, whether it's emotional, physical, social, or financial, are constantly overlooked and compromised, it's the hallmark of toxicity in a relationship. It's a surefire relationship red flag if she doesn't make you or your needs feel important. Such girlfriends will only put their needs forward without considering whether your friends, family, pet time, or guys' time is also important. Make sure to clarify your needs and stand up for them, even if she pulls a face or launches a full-blown attack.
Lord have mercy. Number 6, she controls every aspect of your life. This is one of those toxic girlfriend signs that can be extremely hard to recognize since it's done in the name of love and affection. A toxic girlfriend will slowly but surely take over every aspect of your life. The clothes you wear, the diet you follow, the people you socialize with, the amount of alcohol you're allowed to have, and even your career choices. Everything becomes reviewed and approved by her. If you find yourself obligated to seek her permission to do something you really want to do, it's undoubtedly one of those warning signs of a toxic girlfriend.
Number 7, different rules apply to you and her.
Double standard, if you will.
If you're looking for another warning sign of a toxic girlfriend, this one simply cannot be left out. Double standards about rules of engagement between a couple simply have no place in a healthy relationship at all. However, when you're dating a toxic person, these double standards sometimes become the norm. For instance, she may forbid you from having female friends, but her guy friends remain an active part of her life. Or your phone may be subjected to everyday scrutiny, but hers is out of bounds.
Interesting. Number 8. Withdrawing emotional support on purpose. Among the typical toxic girlfriend signs is a tendency to withdraw emotional support when you, as the man, most need it. You may want to lean on her after a bad day at work or talk about a stressful situation in the family. Just when you most desire her loving presence, she will become emotionally withdrawn and distant. Or even worse, she will return with an "I told you so." Just one of those things toxic girlfriends say when it hurts the most. Mutual emotional support is the bedrock of a romantic relationship. Quite honestly, the best part about having a partner. And when that is missing, there is hardly much else left to go on. When us as females, right, we're emotional beings. And most of the time, that's all we want our man to be, is emotional.
Yeah.
A little bit, anyway. Mm-hmm. Not like crybabies.
Yeah.
But at least give us something. And when your man is doing that, or your man is actually reaching out for emotional support, and you just go cold or distant on him, you have the audacity to wonder, like, oh, well, when I need it, where is he at?
Right.
No.
That's good.
Because when he needs it, where are you at?
Mm.
Anyway.
Number 9, she thrives on criticizing you. Of course, romantic partners are entitled to offer constructive criticism to one another. After all, no one's perfect, right? But when you have your partner's best interests at heart, telling them when they're doing something wrong comes with the territory. However, there is a difference between constructive criticism and constant nagging. The latter is purposefully spiteful and designed to put the other person down. Pay attention to her opinions of the not-so-nice aspects of your personality. If you notice relentless criticism of your weaknesses, peppered with generous amounts of scorn and resentment, it's an unmistakable sign of toxicity. As in, you just can't do anything right.
Number 10, last but not least, you are the only source of her happiness. She wants to criticize you, but you're the only source of her happiness.
Right.
Make it make sense. Contrary to what romantic fiction and pop culture will have you believe, this is not a good thing. In a wholesome relationship, partners complement, not compete with one another. They are two whole individuals that fit together perfectly, not just two parts of a whole that need to fit in to feel complete. If she has made you the central focus of her life, you can count it as one of those toxic girlfriend signs, because sooner or later, she will start smothering you with love and attention, and of course expects you to do the same. Falling short on these relationship expectations is nothing less than the betrayal in her eyes. Being smothered with love and affection to the point of suffocation is one of the signs of a toxic person in your life.
And I mean, that goes back smothering someone, just like you said, when there are people who literally think that that's what a relationship is.
Yeah.
Where, well, if you love me, why would you ever want to spend time with anyone else?
Right. Or just by yourself. Why don't you want to spend all your time with me?
Right.
Why don't you want to only talk to me? Why don't you want to text me 24/7? Like you don't have anything else to do. When you start a relationship or enter a relationship with someone, you two are separate individuals. And you have to remember that just because you're building a life together doesn't mean that that individual doesn't have a life outside of the relationship. And you should. And you shouldn't feel guilty about it. Now, of course, that comes with certain rules. Of course, you can't just...
I mean, you still have to respect your partner. But boundaries are important.
Yeah.
It's weird if you don't want your partner to have friends.
I don't want you to have friends.
I don't want you to have friends.
Good talking together.
We don't have friends.
That's your only friends. Ditto.
We're back.
Oh, man. Can't live with them. And yet we keep on trying. For some of us women, the goal is to meet a man, to fall in love with that man, and build a life together with that man. It sounds easy enough, but it feels like there are so many things that can go wrong, and so many of them sneak up on even the most experienced daters among us. So one of the dangers of a relationship is when you start to get too comfortable. We can all attest to that.
Yes.
Sure, it's great that the two of you made it past the awkward, nerve-wracking phase of dating and answered the question of, are we a couple? But now what? When we start to get too comfortable in a relationship, we can adapt certain behaviors that can drive our men away without us even knowing about it. I literally had a friend that got dumped because she once peed with the door open while whistling. True story, okay? I'm not going to name her name because she would kill me. So what do men think when you get too comfortable that you could be hurting your chances at a successful long-term relationship? I read an interview of a few men who came up with a list of things men really do feel that answer the immortal question, what men think when women get too comfortable in a relationship. Are you ready?
I'm ready. This is actually pretty funny.
Number one, wearing pajamas constantly. Look, we get it. He's never had to wear a bra all day or shoes that pinch his feet. And yes, it's not fair that he wants you to be all dolled up with a face of makeup whenever he gets to see you. And we are in no way saying that you should do that if you don't want to. But there is a happy medium between your full face of makeup paired with a fancy work clothes and that pair of pajama bottoms you bought at a gas station in college that literally have holes in the ass from sitting too much. It doesn't need to be every day, but keeping your work duds on for a while or changing into a favorite pair of jeans and a cozy t-shirt can occasionally let him know that you want to look your best for him.
All right, watching too much TV.
The limit does not exist.
Especially with Netflix. We are in the second golden age of television, right? There's something great on every day of the week. And once you have determined the relationship and decided to be a couple, the pressure is off to a certain extent. But that doesn't mean you now have the right to sit inside together staring blankly at the TV every single night of the week.
Why not?
While a night at home making out, eating pizza, and watching Netflix is great, your partner still wants to go out and experience new things with you.
I agree.
It's not too much to ask.
Number three, how you argue. This is a phase that every couple has to get through if they hope to make it long term. You love your partner? You want things to work out? Then you have to stop fighting the way you did before you knew he was in this thing for real. That means when you're upset about something, you have to tell him. It might not always be easy, and he might not always say the right thing, but at least you'll be having a real argument instead of passive-aggressively walking on eggshells around each other. It's important to fight well and to fight fair. If you don't express what's on your mind, you get stuck in that game-playing stage of when you just started talking to someone and no one wants to be in that.
Number four, how you express affection. When the two of you started dating, you probably gave him lots of passionate kisses and you were probably really touchy-feely. You probably texted him throughout the entire day just to let him know you care or that you're thinking about him. But now when you text him, it's to remind him to make sure to pick up the dry cleaning and those groceries you need for that recipe you're trying. Here's a secret. You can still assign household responsibilities and sexed your man.
Uh-huh.
Stability doesn't have to mean an end to the sexual side of your relationship. In fact, one of the great things about being in a long-term relationship is finding all the different ways that your love for each other can manifest positively in a day-to-day way.
I like that. Number 5, how you treat his friends. When you first start dating a guy, you don't even take the time to consider whether or not you like his friends. All that matters is that they like you. But now that you're in it, and you've gotten that proverbial brass ring, if you will, unfortunately, that sometimes means that you can treat his friends differently than you did when the two of you first started dating. I'm not saying treat his friends like garbage, but not inviting them to your house yourself or joining the boys for a drink every once in a while sends a message. And that message is, I don't think you matter. And your man and his friends definitely notice. So don't be fake, but make an effort to the best of your ability. Relationships are all about challenging ourselves and growing in ways that we never thought were possible. So to end this episode, Sam and I thought it would be good, since we're talking about toxic traits that us women can sometimes have, to do a little story, not necessarily a story time, but just kind of get
real.
Little real about some things that we've kind of thought on, whether it was a past version of ourselves or a relationship or whatever. So we're going to kind of discuss some times where maybe our toxic traits have ruined a situation or relationship or whatever. And I really took the time to really think about it.
I did too.
And this is kind of what I've compiled. Most of the time, toxic people don't know they're toxic.
Right.
And I definitely didn't. And while we commonly talk about the traits of men, right, the toxic traits of men or toxic men in general, it's hard to find a real life discussion of toxic women that doesn't fall into a number of just ridiculous metaphors. So for example, like giving bad behavior from men a pass by labeling the woman that he's burned as crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't really help anybody heal. Didn't help me heal because I've definitely heard, you're crazy, you're crazy, you're crazy, after I've been pushed and pushed and pushed.
Yeah.
And then I react, and now I'm crazy. And half the time, we as women live life too much in our heads, and we think that love is like the most important thing. And for a long time, I thought I knew that love was not the most important thing in the world. And I tried to put on like this face or this brave persona when I was single back then, because I'm still single. And I guess like the emotional highs of falling in love. But my actual actions and choices reflected the truth of which was I wouldn't be happy unless I was in a relationship. Because then you see, especially where we've grown up, it's all you see. Everybody you know is in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody really is just like doing their own thing.
And we're taught that from a young age too.
Mm-hmm. And I put most of my life on hold as I waited for certain guys that I was chasing to realize that I was the one.
Mm-hmm.
Joke's on me.
All of us.
I don't know. And like just rereading of like, I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was one of the toxic traits we just talked about. It was little things equal meltdowns.
Yeah.
Almost. Like that was me. Like I've had to work on my temper so much because I was used to being in a relationship where
you were constantly triggered.
I was constantly triggered.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was pushed and pushed and poked and prodded, but I was expected not to react.
Mm-hmm.
So little things were major breakdowns. And I'm sad to say that, you know, even in my past, I made mountains out of molehills sometimes. And the irony is that I often missed, I did miss completely the red flags that truly mattered because I was focused on, like, the wrong things.
Yeah.
And I was looking for, like, looking to somebody else for my happiness and my self-esteem. That was one of the things that we listed. I made this person or numerous people the center of my world, the center of my happiness. My happiness came from them only. And when I was by myself or when things wouldn't work out with them, I was completely emotional.
Yeah.
I wasn't happy. And it seems counterintuitive, but love isn't designed to make you happy. You know, if that makes sense. It's not there to sustain you. And you have to do the work to build a happy life. Like love does not equal happiness. Right. You have to make yourself happy.
Right.
Like, as we said. And you have to learn how to sustain yourself and not leave it up to other people. Just trying to think of everything. Like, my boundaries. I know we didn't necessarily talk about boundaries here, except just making sure that you do have your own life outside of the relationship. But my boundaries were non-existent. I didn't know what a boundary was.
I can relate.
You know, as I've gotten older, I've realized that more and more, like, that boundaries do matter. And we talk about that a lot. But knowing when to say yes and no, and knowing how much to let people in, these are traits that are invaluable, you know. And for anybody who wants to enjoy a healthy relationship, you have to know when to say yes. You have to know when to say no. And not even in a relationship. That's work related, too.
Yeah.
I've also noticed that I'm unfortunately attracted to toxic and unhealthy people and dynamics, not just people, like the dynamics of those people or the dynamics between us. And I'm slowly but surely that I'm working on identifying why, because I genuinely want healthy relationships in my life. I've allowed the wrong people to get close while I've pushed away healthier people.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't intentional, but it has been detrimental to me a little bit. And it's been disheartening to realize that most of my life, I don't know, I felt more comfortable in the toxic habits than the healthy ones. So I went through a lot of unnecessary heartache just because I was drawn to those men.
And I think once you go through a lot of toxic experiences, it's hard to recognize what healthy is because it scares you.
It scares you.
You don't trust it. You're like, there's no way this is genuine.
Right.
Type of thing.
Because you've been conditioned to question. Because the people that you've been associating with are not trustworthy.
Right.
So then that makes you question everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
The people who are even genuine.
I thought a lot about this. A lot. Because
I really had similar experiences.
So one of my favorite quotes ever, and I read it, people share it all the time, but it's so true, and I don't think people talk about it enough.
Mm-hmm.
It says, if you don't address your trauma, your relationships will.
Oh, yeah.
And this has been very true for me. And I was thinking, when I read this portion that we were going to talk about, I was thinking about, when do I feel like I was a healthy girlfriend and when I was a toxic one? And I thought even down to like my first high school relationship. We've both talked about our high school experiences all the way, you know, from teens to early 20s, just the different relationships that we've had. And honestly, in my youth, I can't think of one serious relationship that I was involved in that was not toxic in some way, whether it was him or me.
Yeah.
Because it was, I mean, all of them, it was both of us at times. And I'll own that.
Yeah.
I was in the same situation as you where I was with someone that constantly put me down, constantly triggered me and pushed me and pushed every boundary that I had. And just like you said, when I finally reacted, I was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They make you look absolutely insane. But I also realized when I think about the times that I was toxic, a lot of my toxic relationship traits during that time came from trauma that I avoided.
Absolutely.
That couldn't help but come out in other areas. So I spent years, you know, after I finally got out of my toxic relationship that I've talked about before, I'm not going to go back into. I didn't like men, genuinely.
Yeah.
Like, I was attracted to men, but I did not like them, and I didn't want to be with them, and I did not trust them at all.
Mm-hmm.
So for years, I casually dated. And when I say casually date, I mean I knew I was never going to be serious with these people.
Yeah.
I used them.
Yeah.
I had so many men traumatize me, take things from me, hurt me, that
you almost wanted to do it.
Yeah.
To them. Yeah.
You get to the point where you feel nothing for people because you don't believe they genuinely feel anything for you because of the people, what people in the past have shown you. So a lot of my toxic traits came from not healing properly.
Mm-hmm.
And I took that out on really good people. There were a few, not a few, but one or two men that I remember being very genuine and being very sweet, and they really liked me. And as soon as they started, like, moving forward and, oh, like, I see a future with you, mm-hmm. or, you know, I want to date, you know, I want to be official, whatever. It was almost like, ugh. Immediately yeah. I pulled back, literally would block these people, would never speak to them again. And then they're contacting you, like, what did I do? You know, like, what did I do? And I just would never speak to them again. So when I think about times I was toxic, those were the times in my life because my trauma made me not like men. And I took that out even on the good ones.
Yeah.
Even on, now, don't get me wrong, some of them were shit.
Right.
And they deserved it.
But the toxic ones make you, unfortunately, be toxic to the good ones.
Right.
And then it's just the cycle. Like, there was a point in my life for, like, a few years, at least one or two, that I was not interested in dating at all.
Yeah.
Like, I just didn't want to be with anybody. I just wanted to focus on myself. I didn't talk to anybody. I didn't want to have nothing to do with anybody. And then I remember there was this one guy specifically. Everything was good. Everything was fine with him. I knew I wasn't really wanting it to be anything serious or long term. I was about to move to school, and he was developing feelings and expressed those feelings, and I was like, why did you have to go and ruin it? You know, and he did nothing wrong.
Right.
On paper, even in, like, not even just on paper, everything was great. But, and I had also made myself very clear about what this was. And then I'm, you know, kind of moved to school, didn't really have much to say, moved back, and it was complete, he was a completely different person. And sometimes, you know, I think back and I'm like, maybe I caused that.
Yeah.
Maybe I've now ruined him. I don't know. But you start to think about the things that people have done to you, and then you then go on to, unfortunately, do to other people. And it kind of sucks.
And that's one thing about trauma that's why I wanted to bring that up, because we don't really realize that trauma is almost like a virus.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't heal from trauma, it's just like they say, if you don't heal from what hurts you, you will bleed on people that love you.
Yes.
And trauma passes trauma. So
that's why they call it generational trauma. Right. Things that your family went through before you were born are now yours to deal with.
And your DNA. Trauma's
because
past.
They didn't heal from it, so now you have to take that burden on.
Yeah, and when I think about times that I was toxic, it took a lot of years in my later 20s and therapy and a lot for me to heal from some things that happened to me to really want to put in effort.
Even now.
In a healthy way.
Even now, I catch myself out, or I catch it sometimes where toxic traits of mine come up.
Yeah.
They try to sneak back in.
Mm-hmm.
And when you notice it, and it's important to realize what your toxic traits are. And just from what we've listed, there are tons more. But those are really the major ones. And if you as a female are listening and saying, oh, I do that.
Yeah.
Or I sometimes do that, or I'm guilty of that. At least you're able to identify it.
It's because important that's like to the be first honest step. With yourself.
Yeah. You got to look at yourself in the mirror and be like, bitch, you are the problem.
Right.
Sometimes it's you.
And it's just like me and you say, I have no problem admitting that I was the problem.
Yeah.
For a while, because I was not happy.
Yeah.
With who I was. And I really, at the time when all that was going on, I didn't really believe someone could love me.
Yeah.
No matter how good they were to me.
Right.
And
you're always waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Yep, always.
And you're all like, I feel like this is a setup.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I feel like I'm paranoid now. It makes you paranoid.
And it's not fair.
Yeah. It's not fair to them when they're really just trying to be there and love you and care about you. And now you're basically vomiting all that on them.
Yeah.
And they're like, listen, there's only so much I can give you. There's only so many times I can prove
right.
to you. Now I'm just going to remove myself. And now you've lost somebody good.
Yeah.
I found my old BlackBerry the other day. And I turned it on. And the messages that I saw. The message I saw in it, I was like, Mackenzie, that was not even that big of a deal. Like, what? And they're still in there. And I was arguing with this person I was in a relationship with, right? And I was like, oh my God, cringeworthy. Cringe. And I was like, Mackenzie, that was not, why are you freaking out? And I'm sure my brain just, I've probably blocked some, there's probably some backstory there that I was probably just forgetting about. And that's not to say that this person wasn't an absolute psychopath. But a lot of the times when you are with someone who is toxic for you, and sometimes you're not necessarily a toxic person, but you guys are toxic together. A lot of things go into this mm-hmm. as a toxic relationship. But yeah, I mean, I was just like, Mackenzie, why are you arguing about this man going to have lunch with his dad? I was like, there's something I'm missing. There's something I'm missing.
Maybe you didn't believe he was really at lunch with his dad. That's
probably it.
Because I'm pretty sure I know who you're talking about. But no, I wanted to bring that up. I think it's important to talk about how trauma leads to toxic traits. And I think it is important to be honest with yourself. And it's okay to look back and admit that you've had some issues.
Yeah.
Or have caused some issues. I don't think you can improve in any way if you aren't, you know, you don't look in the mirror and are honest about who you are. And there's always counseling and ways to heal and become a healthier person to be in a partnership. But I also want to clarify that it's an ongoing work.
Yeah.
Especially if it's something severely traumatizing. Just like you just said, sometimes those traits will just be like, hey, mm-hmm. you know, and or certain things will trigger or whatever. You have to constantly keep work that in mind. Know that about yourself. Know what triggers those thoughts and keep working on them. And hopefully, you know, eventually we'll all
be toxic.
Be healthy.
Be all rainbows and sunshine. because at the end of the day, everybody wants people to think of them and think good things.
Right.
You know, I mean, who wants someone to think about them and be like, oh, that bitch.
And you've said
it. Or that asshole.
It was a few episodes ago, and I can't remember which one, but you talked about one of your exes, and you said, you know, sometimes I look back, you know, you look back and you think, God, like, this is who that person will always know me as.
Yeah.
And that sucks.
It sucks because, and it's reciprocated because in that relationship, those bad times outshadowed mm-hmm. the good ones. And I'm always going to have that in my mind as much as I hate it.
And it sucks to know you spent years with someone, because I did the same thing. You mm-hmm. spent years with someone and now you both
just think the worst of each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, I can't speak for that person, but I honestly can't think of anything that great.
And you know, one thing you could always do, ladies, if you're like, ugh, I do a lot of these things, you know, you could ask your partner.
Yeah, if you're in a relationship.
If you feel
tell
comfortable.
Tell me my toxic trait.
Tell me something that I do that hurts you.
Because sometimes, and I've been in the situation now that you bring that up, is that when you're starting to see someone, you're like, okay, tell me your most toxic trait. And of course, when you're dating, you don't want to put your best, I mean, you want to put your best foot forward. You're not going to be like, well, I suck the life out of people.
Right.
You know? I just criticize. Right. But I think it is important to be honest at some point. And be honest with yourself. Well, that is all we have for this week's episode. And as always, we hope you enjoyed this topic. And if you have any suggestions for us or anything to add to this topic, then let us know. You can send us voice messages with suggestions or questions. DM us on Instagram at co.signpodcast. And don't forget that you can now interact with us in a different way by answering a Q&A or a poll on our podcast page on Spotify.
And guys, this episode was for you. So if you can think of a time you were in a relationship with a woman and maybe there were some toxic traits or red flags that you experienced that we did not list here, feel free to send those in because we can always circle back to this.
Please. Or ladies, if you were listening to me like, damn, I do that.
I'm a toxic bitch.
Let us know. We love the realization.
Yep.
And the accountability.
Hey, we promised from the very beginning when we started this that we were always going to be real and we were always going to be honest. Now, sometimes that makes me want to tell my parents to stop listening.
Sorry, Mom.
But this is not the case.
But as always, you know the drill. Every single Tuesday, we going to be here. We're going to come up with a theme song.
Would it be an ending if we didn't sing?
No.
No.
Every single Tuesday, we gonna be here. All right, guys. Until next week.
Bye.
Oh, my God. Bye. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.